McDonald's made big news this week, announcing it is raising the minimum wage for 90,000 employees. The company's new CEO, Steve Easterbrook, spoke today on CBS This Morning.
We're a really interesting point in the evolution of McDonald's. This is our 60th year, and we find ourselves in a bit of a turnaround situation. And I really want to assert McDonald's as a modern and progressive burger company. And to do that, you've really got to make meaningful changes to the business.
The changes come amid a growing national conversation about raising wages for low-wage workers. And that issue is at the center of a new documentary called The Hand That Feeds. It follows a group of undocumented immigrants who work at a Manhattan deli chain called Hot and Crusty. Many were working 7 days a week without a break and making less than a minimum wage. The film follows them as they try to organize their own union. Joining us from New York are Rachel Lears, who directed the film, and Maoma Lopez, a deli worker who's featured in the film. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
And Rachel, let me start with you. How did you hear about this story and why did you decide to make a documentary about it?
Well, I met Maoma and some of his coworkers and the organizers that he was working with through connections in Occupy Wall Street back in early 2012. I had been documenting that movement when it exploded here in New York in 2011. And when we met Maoma, we really had the feeling that he and his coworkers were going to be embarking on a really interesting journey that would be a great story that connected to really critical, important national issues. And I think that, as a filmmaker, was what drew me to the story.
Well, Maoma, take us back to that point. What were conditions like for you at that Hot and Crusty before you got involved in all this?
Oh, well, the conditions inside of the workplace are really bad. The company don't respect the break time. They never pay overtime. Some of the workers, they don't receive minimum wage. The verbal abuse from the management to the workers are really, really tough. We organized like a delegation so to talk with the manager about all these issues. And basically the answer of the manager, so basically he said, well, when these things happen, it's better to call immigration. And
because a lot of the people there, working there, are undocumented.
Yes.
Including you.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a listen to a clip from the film. This is this young lawyer, Ben Dichter, who helped the workers organize, and he describes why you became the leader of the group.
My first impressions about Maoma was that he was sort of shy and very humble. You could see that his coworkers respected him and that they followed his lead. And I think maybe sometimes the soft-spoken leaders are the most dangerous ones.
Rachel, as you were filming this, we hear from a lot of people who feel very differently about unions than a lot of these workers do. We hear from people who think that businesses should not be hampered by these kinds of demands from their workers. Tell us about the conflict here between those who are in favor of unions in this situation in New York and those who are against.
Well, I think it's a broader question that we need to ask ourselves as a society and just what kind of economy we want. And I think that you can see over looking at the course of the 20th century, there are certain things that we take for granted now, the 8-hour workday, the fact that child labor is illegal. These things are the result of union organizing in the early 20th century. And I think that what we're seeing now is a wave of organizing in the low-wage service sector that really has the potential to reverse the tide of economic inequality in this country.
Even now, as unions decline in membership, which they have been doing for decades.
Exactly. So that has been happening. But at the same time, you see the rise of workers' centers, these alternative labor groups that are not necessarily forming unions in every case. In the case of Maoma and his coworkers, they decided to go that route. But that's not always the path that workers' center organizing takes. At the same time, workers' centers can achieve a lot of gains in the workplace for low-wage and immigrant workers through various different strategies. And I think that that combined with the fast food strikes that you see exploding in the past couple of years and continuing to grow, I think that in spite of the decline of unions, we are seeing a new wave that does have the potential to create some change.
A new wave driven by immigrant workers, whether they be legal or illegal?
I think that's part of it. And then I think that at the same time, some of the a lot of the abuses that, you see in the film, wage theft, people not getting paid minimum wage or overtime, et cetera, a lot of the issues of dignity and respect in the workplace, this is something that workers are experiencing in low-wage industries across the United States, regardless of their immigration status. I think you see that with the fast food movement in particular.
Oma, how are things going now?
Oh, well, right now the inside of the workplace, we are very good. We have a contract. We have a lot of benefits, which we got sick days, we got paid vacations, a grievance process, all these benefits, which gives us a lot of power inside of the workplace.
How has this whole experience changed you and how you think about work and unions and life?
Well, that's a great experience. And right now, I'm do my job in the restaurant as a deli man. And after work, I dedicate my time in the organization on the Worker Center to continue organizing other workers.
You want to organize workers at other hot and crusty restaurants as well?
No, in other sectors. So basically, the organization, which right now I'm the co-director. So basically, we have open campaigns. One is in the Bronx, also workers in the restaurant industry. So we continue organizing workers in other different sectors. We have right now undercover campaign. And basically, that's the goal, is these workers have respect inside of the workplace.
Rachel, as we watch this film, it takes place in New York, I'm thinking to myself, of course, this could happen anywhere in this country with the amount of workers, of immigrant workers, and of undocumented immigrant workers in this country. But do you think that this is more of a story about labor or about immigration in this country?
I think it's really both. I think it's hard to talk about labor without talking about immigration, and it's hard to talk about immigration without talking about labor in this country. The two are so connected at all levels. But I think it's also a story about human dignity and people standing up for refusing to be invisible. And I think that as a filmmaker, that's really been what has driven me and my directing partner, Robin Blotnick, along the way, was really the story of personal transformation that these folks went through and the courage that they had to continue fighting and standing together, I think is really what drove us.
Why do you think they had that courage, though, to risk being deported in order to get the kinds of changes in their pay and in their work life that they were hoping for?
First of all, we're talking about people that have already demonstrated a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to get to the United States from some of the circumstances that folks are coming from in other countries. And when you get here and you're experiencing all of these terrible conditions on the job, I think that is motivating in a lot of cases to in this case, I think these workers were really motivated by the shared experience of the grievances that they were having. And while the abuses they suffered were not unusual, I think the degree of strength and unity that they had with one another that enabled them to persevere to the point of getting a contract, which is rather unusual, I think that's really what makes this story stand out.
Rachel Lierz, who directed the documentary The Hand That Feeds. We've also been speaking with Maoma Lopez, who is a deli worker at the Hot and Crusty, featured in the film in New York, and a member of now the Hot and Crusty Workers Association. He helped organize that union. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you to you for this invitation. That's amazing.
And your thoughts on this. Undocumented workers, are they the face of the new labor movement in America? And where do you come down on their demands?